This is The Spot, a BYU Idaho radio production where we talk about what you're talking about at BYU Idaho. Today's hosts are Alec Miller, Skylar Timmons, and guest host Shane Wilker. The views and opinions of this podcast are not that of BYU Idaho radio or the university and are solely the opinions of the hosts.
Hi, welcome to The Spot. I'm your host, Skylar Timmons, and joined with me is
Alec Miller.
And today we have a very special guest coming all the way down from Idaho Falls to brave the cold, meet us here in the radio station, and join us on the spot is Shane Wilker. Thank you so much for joining us, Shane. He is part of the Shannon Wilker Foundation, a foundation that he created to kind of help with breast cancer awareness and help for people in the community who really need it. Shane, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really good. I just want to say I appreciate you guys for invite me here today. I appreciate you guiding me into here because I get lost easy in traffic, and so appreciate you guys. But seriously, I really do appreciate the opportunity to be here today.
Oh, we're happy to have you. And just one question that I want to get right out of the way, kind of getting to know you a little bit. I want to know about the mustache. It's one of the best handlebar mustaches I've ever seen.
Well, I've had a mustache probably since high school, and I used to have a full beard, and it's just one of those that it covers up a lot of the not pleasant looking part of the face. So,
yeah, I can't grow facial hair. It's awful, but
as you can see, I'm follically challenged on the top. So anywhere on my head that I can grow hair, I kind of.
I'm getting very close to that. Yes. To that exact same thing. So I understand that.
All right, so Shane, October, oftenly known as Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we're watching because we wanted to just ask a little bit about your foundation. What is your foundation? How did you start it?
The foundation is for my wife, Shannon, that passed away from breast cancer. She passed away on July 20th in 2011, and I started the foundation as a way to keep her memory alive, but what I wanted to do at the foundation is I wanted to know where the money went, because you hear a lot of places that raise money for different causes, but you find out the money doesn't necessarily go where it said it was going to go or for the reasons it said it was raising them. So that's why I wanted to make sure. So I work with Teton Cancer Institute in Idaho Falls, and all of the money that we raise goes directly to local cancer patients and their families to help them with medical expenses. And we do gas cards. We're doing a lot of hotel rooms for cancer patients, like in Salmon and Driggs and Jackson, that have to come down for treatment and then need a place to stay. So we've been doing a lot of that. That's been very beneficial to cancer patients.
Yeah. And so you said you started in the memory of your wife. What can you tell us about her and kind of like what role she was in your life? And
my wife Shannon was the most caring, empathetic, selfless person that I've ever known. I'm more the it's got to be about me kind of guy, and look what I did. We went through what she was diagnosed with breast cancer, and they gave her 2 months to live, or 2 years, excuse me, and we actually made it almost four, and she just fought as hard as she could through it. And I will never say she lost her battle to cancer, mainly because I will never give cancer credit for anything. I've learned that life is chapters, and it was simply time for her next chapter, and this is my next chapter. But when she passed away, I went through a long time, but there was this period of just, you know, I'm going to say bitterness and depression, and, you know, I was just focusing on all the things that I lost. And Shannon reminded me through different things that happened in my life is you need to be happy for the things you do have. You have our boys and our granddaughters there, and I don't get to have that, and you do. And instead of missing me, you need to appreciate them, and you've got them. And I do want to say the blessing of my family and my friends is what's helped me through that. And for the families and the patients out there battling with cancer, is you're not alone. And rely on the help of family and friends and community. Because we live southeastern Idaho here. We have a great community that reaches out and helps people. And it's not a journey that you have to walk down alone.
Hmm. Very sorry for your loss, and that's a really touching story. I'm a very recently married person. Like, I've only been married for about a year or so, a little over a year, and I can't even imagine what that kind of a situation must be like. To me right now, at my stage in life, that's just something that just very much scares me in a lot of ways, but I can't even hardly imagine. So thanks for sharing the kind of personal story about her.
Yeah, and congratulations on being married. You have to remind her she's lucky to have you, right?
I'm very lucky to have her too. That's she you always say that your wife is your better half. Well, she's my better three quarters. She changed so much of a lot of what I do on a daily basis, and a lot of my attitudes towards things. So yeah, I'm very lucky to have her, and we're both still very happy.
So. Yeah, if we would have made it to the next April, we'd have been married 30 years. So I was really blessed to have the time with her I did down here. And I realized that the time that you have here is really brief. And the best thing that you can do when anything like that happens to you is focus on the positive things you can do. After she passed away, some good friends told me I needed to get on this patient and family advisory committee at the hospital, Eastern Idaho Regional Medical Center, and I got onto that board, and that kind of led me to volunteering. And when I started volunteering and reaching out and helping other people, I mean, everything just changed. It made me realize I'm not the only one going through something. And there's people out there, no matter what you're going through, there's other people out there that's going through the same or worse. And so instead of me worrying about the thing that I was going through, when I started reaching out and helping people, I mean, every aspect of my life got better. It made me feel like I was contributing back and giving back of, you know, I went through periods of, you know, I wish I'd have done this different, and I wish I'd have done that different, and I can't change that. But what I can do is I can put a positive sheet in the ledger. If I reach out and do someone, if I volunteer, or, you know, whatever it is, if I can do something positive, then it offsets the stuff that I wish I would have done different that I can't change anyway. So if you are going through something like that, you know, reach out to people and find out how you can help, and it'll make your life better.
Yeah. And kind of along with that, excuse me, what advice would you give students here on campus of ways they can help, things that they can do?
Yeah, that was a big thing I was wondering too, because yeah, a lot of college students, you know, we've got our own schedules we worry about, but then we also always think that, you know, we don't really have a ton of resources to be able to help with. So like, yeah, what are some ways that guys like us would be able to get involved and make lives a little easier for people?
Well, and the thing with volunteering is you don't necessarily have to find a way to get people funds or anything like that. There's people that needs meals delivered to them, or to the students on the campus, and anyone as far as that goes. But for the students in campus, you know, check with the people at the college, and check with, I would reach out to Madison Memorial Hospital and Teton Cancer Institute up here and find out, what can we do to help? Do you have some patients that we could take some meals to, or maybe they need a ride to treatment, or there, you know, there's different things you can do. You know, reach out to your local religious organizations and say, how can I help? What can I do? We have winter coming up, and there's a lot of driveways and sidewalks that need shoveled, and, you know, just simple things like that. I remember when we had this lady, this widow that lived on the corner, and every time it snowed, Shannon would be up at 5 o'clock, and she'd go over and always shovel her driveway and her walk. and then come home, because she didn't want to do it so this lady saw her do it. She didn't do it so anybody could see that was her doing it. She did it because it needed to be done, and it was the right thing to do, and that was the only reason. And I thought about that example and other examples in my life of, you know, that's the right reason to do anything. So as this winter comes along and, you know, you've got places and people that need any kind of help or whatever, you know, reach out and find out who they are and what you can do.
I like how you talk about that, because there's plenty of good examples. It sounds like just the small and simple things that we can do. Because I think in these situations, we always think about, oh, I'm just one person, I can't do anything huge. No, but I like that example that you've talked about with, you know, with your wife, and just these small and simple things, small acts of kindness, they can go a long way. You know, and just all these bunch of small acts together can come into something huge for someone. So I think that that's incredible to be able to do that. One of the other things, what other things can people do to help get involved in your foundation? Because we know you just recently had, an event up in Idaho Falls this past weekend.
Yeah, it was a Run for the Cure. So I do a race the first weekend every June called the Crusade Against Cancer, and I partner with the Idaho State Police, and it's a superhero-themed fun run. And so I think I will challenge everyone at BYU Idaho. You can sign up a group of 30 for $250 on the website. So get as many groups as you can. And the best group that BYU Idaho can put down there with the best uniforms or whatever, costumes, I will Dutch oven cook a dinner for everyone that wins that. So the challenge has been dropped.
BYUI, listen up. The challenge has been dropped and food is being promised. Listen, let's do this.
And I hate to brag about it, but I am really good at Dutch oven.
Oh, man, when's the last time I had a good Dutch oven meal? Oh, I'm a big guy. I don't run, but you're making me want to go and run and participate. This is awesome.
So, and along that lines is, I will tell you, I've written a book. It's called Stories of an Angel. It's available on Amazon. Or reach out to me on the ShannonWilkerFoundation.org website, and I will get you a book. But I have it's called The Dutch Oven Story, and it's in my book. And after Shannon passed away, I wanted to do something. I wanted to get her family and my family up, and I just... Everybody come up, we'll go out in the backyard, and I just wanted everybody to sit around and, I, you know, let's just share some memories and stories about Shannon and how she impacted your life. And just, you know, it started that way of keeping her memory alive, and I told her I said I would cook Dutch oven. Well, when I thought about it, I thought, I'm going to go buy a really nice big Dutch oven. I've always wanted a Dutch oven. And when Shannon was alive, if she was there, she would have just says, well, don't you already have like 4 Dutch ovens? And I'd have went, fine, I won't go buy a Dutch oven. But then I thought about it and I thought, okay, I'm going to go buy this Dutch oven. So I go out to Cal Ranch, I walk in the back. Here's a Lodge Dutch oven, 16 inch, $89, just the perfect thing that I'm looking for. And as I'm looking at it, I could hear Shannon ask me, okay, don't you already have 4 Dutch ovens? And I just kind of sheepishly in my head go, yeah. And then I hear, didn't your sister Patty say she could bring you some Dutch ovens if you wanted to use them? Well, yeah. She says, are you going to get $89 worth of use out of that Dutch oven? And I says, probably not. And I left Cal Ranch without a Dutch oven. And that's a fun story, but the point of that story is it made me think of how many times did I get upset over something silly and meaningless and let it bother me instead of what's really important.
Mm-hmm.
But the best part of that story is I told that out at work. And that Christmas Eve, when I went out to my pickup, was a 16-inch Lodge Dutch oven in my pickup. So I did have a happy ending.
Yeah. No, and I think, it's just that all those nice memories they have. You kind of mentioned earlier on, but right before the interview, we were talking about, you know, those experiences you had with your wife and kind of like, those kind of spiritual experiences you had with her, and you know, just realizing just what to cherish, just to cherish the moments that we have, especially with our loved ones, going especially through breast cancer, any type of cancer, and just those tragedies and those hard times and trials, because it does get hard. I like what you've been talking about, and appreciate that you've been able to go out and do something and turn something, you know, that was hard for you and turn it into something positive for others.
Yeah. And to answer, so if people want to get involved with the foundation, you can contact me. Like I said, the email is donate@shannonwilkerfoundation.org, or the website is shannonwilkerfoundation.org. And I guess the other thing that I want to make that sure that everybody understands is anything that we do, if we do a fundraiser up here in Rexburg, say we do like a, I don't know, fun run or whatever we do in Rexburg, all of the money that we raise on any fundraiser we do in Rexburg is going to go to cancer patients from Rexburg. Because I'm really big on the money that's raised in a community needs to stay to help the people in that community.
So I got a question that I've actually been very curious about for a long time. And I just never have really done the research on it for some reason, but since we got you here, perfect opportunity to ask. So there's a lot of different kinds of cancer out there, but breast cancer is probably one of the most well-known and is also one of the ones that's like so advocated for. What is it necessarily about breast cancer that makes it something that is so at the forefront of people's minds, like for like that it has this entire month and such wide devotion? Is it that dangerous, or is it that widespread, or a mix of both, or...
I think it's a mix of both, and the advice I would give anyone is go get checked, early detection. The other part of that is not just women, men get breast cancer also. So, you know, anything you can detect it early and they can catch it early, you know, the better chances you have. So Teton Cancer and Mountain View Hospital, I know Madison Memorial are really big on early detection and mammograms. And I know they're doing a lot of, you know, discounted mammograms just so people can come in and get checked out. So, but to answer your question, I'm not exactly sure why it is so widespread as it is. But, you know, education is probably the key to helping us turn that around.
And one last question here. I just wanted to ask, ultimately, where do you want to see your foundation get to? What's your ultimate goal with this foundation?
My ultimate goal is we're going to be not just nationwide in the States, but global. And how that's going to go, I've realized that God is teaching me patience, because I want things to happen like right now, and it just takes time to build and build. But... That's my ultimate goal for the foundation, is it be something that's known not just nationwide but globally. And that'll be done with raising different monies in different communities. You know, an example is, say, Phoenix. We go into Phoenix and get with the city leaders and the, you know, community in Phoenix and say, we're going to do a big fundraiser here. Then we work with a cancer institute in Phoenix so that money gets to cancer patients in Phoenix. And I think once the foundation starts doing that and people around go, hey, this money, actually, we know where our money's going and it's helping the people around here, I think that's what's going to be the catalyst to take it where I see it going.
Awesome. Well, Shane, sadly we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us and for all the work that you're doing.
Yeah. We're glad that we can be a part of helping you, helping grow this, because definitely all of you guys who are listening out there, you pay attention. This is important. So let's help make this that global thing that he's wanting to see. So let's make that happen.
Yeah. I appreciate you guys inviting me to talk here, and it's been my honor to talk to you guys. I appreciate everything you've done.
Awesome. Again, that's Shane Wilker. And if you want to help, go to the ShannonWilkerFoundation.org if you want to get more information and know how you can help and donate. This has been this week's episode of The Spot. I'm your host, Skylar Timmons, and joined with me,
Alec Miller.
And we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to The Spot, a production of BYU Idaho Radio. Today's hosts were Alec Miller, Skylar Timmons, and guest host Shane Wilker. The views and opinions of this podcast are not that of BYU Idaho Radio or the university, and are solely the opinions of the hosts. This episode was edited by Brian Mondaca. Producers were the hosts, with supervision by Brendan Isle. Our theme music is Running by DJ Quads and Buddha by Context. To listen to more episodes of The Spot, like and follow us on social media, or visit our website, BYUIdahoRadio.org, and click podcasts. Be sure to subscribe to The Spot on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or wherever you get podcasts.